From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other sort of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news first headline. President Joko Widodo on Thursday urged Home Affairs Minister Tito Karnavian to admonish head of those regions that have closed road in wake of the coronavirus pandemic, thereby slowing the distribution of goods and food. As many as 191 Indonesians have tested positive for coronavirus or COVID-19 abroad, as on Thursday, according to the Foreign Ministry. Now, news in detail. President Joko Widodo on Thursday urged Home Affairs Minister Tito Karnavian to admonish head of those regions that have closed road in wake of the coronavirus pandemic, thereby slowing the distribution of goods and food. We must ensure the flow of logistics is smooth and basic necessities are available in market. I hope that Home Affairs Minister will reprimand regional administration blocking road so the flow of logistics is not disrupted, the President said in a limited meeting on Thursday held via teleconferencing from the Bogor Presidential Palace. The meeting was held to discuss preparation for the fasting month of Ramadan and the subsequent Eid al-Fitri. The President said he had received reports from several region heads that his supplies, the staple of food such as rice, has been disrupted due to the road blockaded. He pointed out that public demand for goods will soon increase during Ramadan and Eid al-Fitri. As many as 191 Indonesians have tested positive for coronavirus or COVID-19 abroad as of Thursday, according to the Foreign Ministry. The figure rose by 53 in the comparison with 133 on Wednesday, the ministry stated on the official account. It said 45 of the additional confirmed coronavirus cases involve Indonesia crew member, thereby bringing the total number of COVID-19 positive cases abroad to 49. The 49 Indonesian crew members are employed in different ships, including Costa Luminosa, ship docking in Italy. In its infographic distributed by the ministry, Indonesian citizens exposed to coronavirus reside in 22 countries. The ministry also reported confirmed cases of coronavirus involving Indonesian, each in Oman, Belgium, and the United States, and their health condition is stable. China, Macau, and Brunei Darussalam each had a case of Indonesian testing positive for coronavirus. Six other Indonesians have contracted the coronavirus infection in Spain, thereby totaling to 9 Indonesians having tested positive for the virus in the country. Most of the 191 Indonesian testing positive for COVID-19 is currently stable health. In fact, 29 of them have recovered, constituting 15% of the total. Only 2% of them died in Malaysia and Singapore. The president has instructed to secure the availability of all these food commodities. It must be monitored in terms of quantity, prices, and quality. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto said on Thursday, as quoted by Antara. As early as April, Hartarto affirmed that rice stock was still adequate and farmers will enter the harvest period in April and peak harvesting season in June. Meanwhile, Indonesia government decided to not ban mudik through strongly requested season, especially Jakarta residents, to not return to their hometown during the Idul Fitri season this year, owing to the effort to stem the spread of novel coronavirus. The Trump administration appeared to join local officials on Thursday in advising Americans to wear masks when venturing out during the still-exploding coronavirus pandemic. The U.S. death toll rose by 1,000 in a single day for the first time. Speaking of the White House briefing, Deborah Birx, a member of President Donald Trump Coronavirus Task Force, said the U.S. Center of Disease Control and Prevention would issue guidelines in the coming days on the use of face covering. As of Thursday evening, the U.S. death toll of COVID-19, the respiratory illness caused by coronavirus, stood at 5,821, with more than 241,000 positive cases across all 50 states. Global cases surpassed 1 million on Thursday, with more than 52,000 deaths, according to Reuters tally based on country-by-country data. The World Bank on Thursday, April 2nd, said it had approved an initial $1.9 billion in emergency fund for coronavirus response operating in 25 developing countries, with more than half the aim earmarked to help to fight the spread disease in India. Action on project in score emerging market countries is expected in the coming day and weeks, the World Bank said. In addition, the bank said it was working to redeploy resources in existing World Bank finance project worth up to $1.7 billion. The bank has said it's prepared to spend up to $160 billion over the next 15 months to combat the pandemic. Zoom is to pause the development of any new features to concentrate on safety and privacy issue in the wake of criticism for users of the apps. In a blog, the chief executive of the video conferencing apps apologized for falling short on security issue and promised to address concern. He said that the use of Zoom has soared in a way he could never have foreseen prior to the coronavirus pandemic. One security expert said he hoped the company culture would change. Zoom is now being used by millions of people for work and leisure. Eric Yuan spoke candidly about how use Zoom ballooned overnight. As in the end of December last year, the maximum number of daily meeting participation, both free and paid, was approximately 10 million. In March this year, we reached more than 200 million. Saying that Saudi Arabia and Russia may end oil feud sent prices up more than 20% on Wednesday, the biggest one-day leap on a record. U.S. President Donald Trump said he expected the two sides to cut supplies while Saudi Arabia called for an emergency meeting of oil producers. The Russian energy minister also said his country may re-enter talks, a deal to cut production in response to the drop in demand from coronavirus shutdown collapse last month. Since then, the cost of crude has fallen to low not seen for almost two decades as Russia and Saudi Arabia slash prices and ramp up production in fight for market share. That is the news read out by Antin Supriyati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our good program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Inventing the COVID-19 Vaccine. While listener entering the fourth month after the first case of coronavirus disease 2019 COVID-19 pandemic was discovered in Wuhan, Hubei Province, China on December 2019. Now Wuhan in particular and China in general have improved and gradually returned to normal. In addition, China later became the first country to attempt to invent the COVID-19 vaccine. Last week, head of the Chinese vaccine researcher Chen Wei from his laboratory in Wuhan stated that the vaccine discovery process had entered the testing stage in humans. If it turns out to be effective, the vaccine will be mass-produced. Furthermore, there is a group of Australian scientists also trying to find the COVID-19 vaccine and start conducting tests for two potential candidates. From the time that was usually spent 12 months, the vaccine was successfully formulated within 3 months. In addition, Russia also added to the list of countries that attempted to find the COVID-19 vaccine. Amid the outbreak of COVID-19, with victims of contracting each country reaching up to tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people, efforts to find the right vaccine are very important. The faster the vaccine formula is invented, the more lives can be saved. At present, almost every country experiences a peak variant of COVID-19 attacks. Thereby, the invention of the vaccine must be accelerated for the immediate distribution. But unfortunately, this seems to take time. Preventive efforts must be accelerated while waiting for the vaccine to be produced. Appeals for the physical distancing, avoiding crowds, improving immune system with healthy lifestyle, especially frequent proper hand washing, and other steps need to be continued. Thus, the number of victims due to COVID-19 will continue to be suppressed, and this pandemic can set off immediately. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Today in History. We begin with a story. On April 3, 1922, Joseph Stalin becomes the General Secretary of the First Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Stalin was a member of the Soviet Union's Communist Party. On April 3, 1922, the position of the Secretary General of the Communist Party opened a wide opportunity for him to use influence on the course of party administration, and at the same time was the main factor in the struggle toward the peak of power. Joseph Stalin was the dictator of the Soviet Union until his death in 1953. Under Stalin, the Soviet Union changed from a peasant society to an industrial and military superpower. However, he was in power with terror and millions of his own citizens died during his brutal rule.
Turning to April 3, 1930, the birth of Helmut Kohl. Helmut Kohl is a German politician and conservative statesman. He served as Chancellor of Germany from 1982 to 1998. Kohl became Chancellor with the longest period of 16 years, replacing Otto von Bismarck. Kohl is considered the greatest European leader in the 20th century by United States President George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. He contributed to the drafting of the Maastricht Agreement, which formed the European Union and encouraged the formation of the Euro single currency. Now we end today in history with April 3, 1948, the United States rebuilds Europe through the Marshall Plan. On April 3, 1948, the President of the United States, Harry S. Truman, signed an Economic Aid Act that allowed America to help build European countries destroyed by World War II. The move, called the Marshall Plan, aims to stabilize the economy and politics in Europe so that it will not be interested in communists. For this plan, the American government disbursed funds amounting to $13 billion. Listener, that was Today in History.
Dad.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Government allocates 405 trillion rupiah fund to handle COVID-19 pandemic. Indonesian President Joko Widodo signed government regulation in lieu of loan Perpu on state financial policies and financial system stability as a foundation in ensuring public health, saving the economy and financial stability. President Joko Widodo, in a virtual press statement from the Bogor Presidential Palace on Tuesday, March 31, said that the Perpu is aimed to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic, which currently faces 202 countries, including Indonesia. According to the President, the COVID-19 pandemic not only brought public health problems, but also economic implications. The government decided the total additional expenditure and financing of the state budget APBN 2020 by 405.1 trillion rupiah. The total budget will be allocated for spending on health, social protection, tax incentives and stimuli, for business credit, and for financing national economic recovery programs, including credit restructuring and guarantees and financing for businesses, especially micro, small and medium enterprises. While the health sector budget will be prioritized for the protection of health workers, especially the purchase of personal protective equipment, the purchase of medical equipment such as test kits, reagents, ventilators and referral hospital upgrades, including athlete homes, doctor incentives, nurses and hospital personnel, as well as compensation death of medical personnel and handling other health problems. The social protection budget will be prioritized for the whole family program, which rises to 10 million beneficiary families. This budget will also be used for food needs cards, which are increased to 20 million recipients. The social protection budget, according to President Joko Widodo, will also be used for the pre-work card, which was increased its budget to be able to protect around 5 to 6 million people affected by layoffs, informal workers, micro and small businesses. It will also be used to waive electricity costs of 450 VA customers and 900 VA customers, including logistical support for the 9 staples and basic needs. The President expects support from the Indonesian Parliament for the newly signed government regulation in lieu of law Perpu, which will soon be enacted and implemented. That was My Indonesia.
Dengar jelas bintang utara memanggil satu hari yang dinanti, terpancar terang di bawah langit, terlihat jejak setapak mengarah dan ku sedang mengikuti. Sampaikan salam untuknya dari hati lalui tanah air udara. Kawan camat ikut bicara, sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati arungi samudra untuk menemuinya di sana di bawah aurora. Thank you.
sebatas di lautan yang membiasku kan datang. Sampaikan salam untuknya dari hati lalui tanah air udara. Kawan camat ikut bicara, sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati alungi samudra. Untuk menemuinya di sana, di bawah aurora. Kulalui tanah air dan udara. Aku kan datang, aku kan datang. Sampaikan salam untuknya dari hati lalu. Sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati alungi samudra. Untuk menemuinya di sana, di bawah aurora. Oh, dari hati lalui tanah air udara.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder. We will invite you to taste one of the delicious foods of Yogyakarta called gudeg. Indonesia has various ethnic groups with their respective cultures. The culture takes the form of customs, clothing, and food or culinary. If you visit Yogyakarta, you will find one of the cultural heritages of the Javanese tribe called gudeg. Professor Mordiati Garjito, a researcher at the Center for Traditional Food Study and Nutrition at Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta, said that the origin of gudeg is thought to have existed since 1500 when the Islamic Mataram Kingdom was built in the Mantauk Forest, Kota Gede, Yogyakarta. At that time, the cooks and soldiers made dishes from young jackfruit and coconut milk for hundreds of people. Because the amount of material is quite a lot, then it is used a large frying pan in managing it. The process of making this food should be steered like rowing a boat called ngahudeg in Javanese. Finally, a greeting that is better known as gudeg. The process of making gudeg from young jackfruit, usually called gori in Javanese, begins by boiling jackfruit for several hours with coconut sugar and coconut milk. Then put in other seasonings such as galangal, candle nut, onion, and white and mashed coriander, and other seasonings. But certainly the taste of gudeg is sweet, savory, and gudeg has a distinctive and delicious taste in accordance with the taste of Javanese people. For this food serving, gudeg is usually complemented with white rice, chicken, hard-boiled eggs, tofu or bacem tempeh, and cow skin that is boiled using coconut milk or cold krecek fried sambal. If you go to Yogyakarta, please stop over in Wajilan area, where the famous Gudeg Center is located. Although there are many variants of Gudeg, like a slightly spicy taste in East Java, but actually Gudeg has a sweet and savory taste. Usually, Gudeg is sold using baskets, containers made of bamboo or used kandil or vessel of clay. Now, Gudeg can be found and enjoyed not only in Yogyakarta city, but also several regions in Indonesia. Even in the Netherlands and the United States, there is an Indonesian restaurant that serves Gudeg in their food dish. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Gudeg from Yogyakarta. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Semua kelemahan kau jadikan.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for your listener on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miscellany. Today we will inform you about International Museum of the Prophets, History and Islamic Civilization will be built in Ancol. Stay tuned at www.voinews.id. The International Museum of the Prophet Muhammad's History and Islamic Civilization will be built in Taman Impian Jaya Ancol, Pademangan North, Jakarta. The construction of the museum, initiated by the Indonesian Most Council, is said to be the largest in the world. The construction began with a groundbreaking on Wednesday. Head of the Building Committee for the International Museum, Safruddin, said that the groundbreaking was held after an agreement was reached with various parties. He stated that this museum will become an icon of the world and will become the largest in the world. Later, this museum will contain a complete history and hundreds of hadiths of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on how Islam entered into Indonesia. This museum will be made as modern as possible by utilizing three-dimensional technology, holograms, and augmented reality. There will also be a miniature of the Great Mosque of Mecca and the Prophetic Mosque. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Mosque Council, Yusuf Kala, said that the area of the museum covers 6 hectares. The building itself is approximately 1.5 hectares, including the dining room restaurant that will later be the menu eaten by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The groundbreaking process was also attended by Secretary General of the World Islamic League, Muhammad bin Abdul Karim Al Issa, Minister of Religious Affairs Fahrur Razi, Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir, Minister of Agrarian Affairs and Special Planning Head of National Land Agency Sofyan Jalil, and some figures of Islamic organization in Indonesia. That was Miscellany for today about International Museum of the Prophet Muhammad's History and Islamic Civilization will be built in Ancol. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
Kenapa kembaliku pergi? jantung dan langkah kakimu. Kemana ini akan membawaku?
Harus bisa-bisa berlapang dada. Kau harus bisa-bisa ambil hikmahnya. Karena semua-semua tak lagi sama. Walau kau tahu dia pun merasakannya.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a collaborative regional song from Central Kalimantan entitled Turus Jani. People of Central Kalimantan have a tradition called Kangurut in the form of oral literature or commonly called poem, which is counted. A classic major literature, a kind of poem or gurindam, is highly valued by the Dayak people. Putri in Karungut contains the virtue and wisdom of the legend of life, and also contains advice, reprimands, and warnings in everyday life of humans. Karungut can also express the voice of joy and happiness in the community. Traditional Karungut is accompanied by musical instruments such as kecapi, gendang, gong, and suling or flute. But nowadays, it is often accompanied by bands or organs. Listeners, here Ujai Mura and Yeti Miri with Turus Jani in the strain of modern Karungut.
Musik.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia. Or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address VOI@vianews.id.